Welcome. This is the Life Habits Podcast series. My name is Carl Vredenberg.
And my name is Paige Herron.
This is the series that helps you to learn new habits to optimize your life and embrace an enlightened, healthy, and prosperous lifestyle.
This is episode 122, and the topic for today is hybrid work, doing it right. Let's start off, as we usually do, with some inspirational quotes. Carl, can you start us off with those?
I will for sure, and I've got three. The first is, hybrid work doesn't happen by chance, and you need to be intentional, proactive, and thoughtful to make it work properly. It's not easy, but it's doable, and the outcomes can be massive. A quote is by Miroslav Miroslav. The second quote is, first and foremost, I believe in flexible working. It's important that employers appreciate their employees' work-life balance and give them the flexibility to work around their personal lives. And that quote is by Sir Richard Branson. The third and final quote is from Tim Cook. He says, hybrid work will allow us to achieve the best of both worlds, the focus and collaboration of the office, and the flexibility and autonomy of remote work.
Those quotes are perfect. They completely encapsulate what we want to talk about today in this episode. So, as you know, Carl, I've been working remotely from home for the past few years now. And in my case, it wasn't the pandemic that made this a necessity, but the fact that I live with chronic illnesses. But for people like you, it was the pandemic that led for you to need to work from home. What was that like for you?
Yeah, it was really strange, you know. Prior to the pandemic, I'd be in the office, in fact, a studio in my office, at work, most days, and the occasional day I would work from home. That is when I wasn't traveling, and I did a fair bit of traveling before the pandemic, and during the pandemic, that entirely stopped as well. In March 2020, I gathered up my keyboard, trackpad, mouse, and monitor from work, and brought them home, thinking that it might be for a week or a month. And that, of course, became multiple years. I adjusted pretty quickly, and I also optimized my setup at home so that I would show up well and be the most effective while working remotely. I gave it a lot of thought. I blogged about my setup and recorded a podcast about it too. Other people were really having a hard time working from home, though. Being on screen all day, not having enough of a separation of work and home life, and missing in-person interaction. I recorded some podcast episodes to help people adjust during that period as well. Of course, some people didn't have the option of working from home, given the type of work that they do.
I think that's so true that back in March 2020, we thought, this isn't going to last too long, that we have to stay home and work from home. And that did really change. And there were a lot of challenges that came with that for lots of different people for lots of different reasons. But now that we've kind of come past that, the pandemic isn't completely over, as we both know, but people are returning to offices and in a lot of cases are being required to return to the office. So Carl, could you tell me a little bit more about how that's going and what's happening with returning to the office?
Yeah, there really is a transition more recently to returning to the office, as you say, and a number of companies now, in fact, the vast majority of them are requiring their workers to return to the office. And most are adopting what is referred to as hybrid work. What that means is working some of the time at the office, and typically 3 days a week for most companies, and some of the time working from home, and then typically 2 days of working at home. There's actually really strong evidence, research evidence, for the benefits of working in the office, but there's also equally strong evidence for the benefits of working at home. So the hybrid approach is really the best of both worlds, as Tim Cook talked about in that quote I read earlier. However, it isn't the best of both worlds unless we're intentional, proactive, and thoughtful about it, like the other quote that I mentioned above. So what does that mean? It means that if you continue to do your work, but simply do Mondays and Fridays at home and Tuesdays to Thursdays in the office, I'd say you're not doing it right. You're not optimizing your experience. You should look at your modes of work, is what that's called. Things like needing to concentrate on a piece of work uninterrupted, as an example. Or another experience would be needing to collaborate with others, with your colleagues. That's another mode of work. So the former should be done during your work from home days. That is time that you need to really concentrate uninterrupted. And the latter should be done in the office, meeting with your colleagues, for example. Of course, you can't determine this all by yourself. Your manager needs to work with you and the rest of the team to intentionally design how to arrange hybrid work. It's also important, as one of the quotes also pointed out too, to encourage flexibility, especially to foster a healthy work-life balance. That might take the form of avoiding rush hour when going into the office, occasionally taking a work from home day to look after a sick child, or working in the office every day because you don't have a conducive arrangement at home for work. You know, it should be pointed out that people have to adjust to this new arrangement. Some of the people I've hired straight out of college have also been doing their classes remotely for the last couple of years of their degree. Some of those people are dying to get into the office to work with people in person, but others actually lack the skills or the confidence to be with others. People are typically somewhere on the introversion-extroversion continuum. I'm sure you identify as being more of an introvert or more of an extrovert. But for some, and maybe for many, where you reside on that continuum is situational. And I've observed that during the pandemic, a lot of people that really tended to be more of an extrovert became more introverted during their time during the pandemic, having to be at home by themselves a lot of the time. So those people have to acclimatize back to being around people again. And even the experience that we had that we tried to avoid being close to people because we could be infected with the virus during the pandemic. All of that led to people not being comfortable being around other people. So we need to acknowledge that it takes some effort to get comfortable with that and see the benefits again of being around people as well.
I think during the pandemic, we kept expecting, you know, when we're going to get back to normal and things will go back to how the way they were. But we've all come to realize that it's not going back to that normal before the pandemic. It's a new normal. And it's things like hybrid work that we need to learn how to optimize, like you were saying, and to work collaboratively with our employees and our managers to make that as beneficial to all parties as possible. And to your point on some people becoming more introverted because there was that fear of being around people, I think we really need to take that time to make sure that everyone is comfortable. And if we are feeling that way, getting more used to being back in person. And in addition to that, the work-life balance has changed during the pandemic and now in more of a post-pandemic era, even though it's not fully over, things have gotten more back to quote-unquote normal. And that work-life balance to keep that separation in a world where we're digitally connected 24/7, how do we keep that proper balance when it's just easy to send a message or an email to a colleague or a coworker or an employee? So, Carl, what recommendations would you give to especially managers and supervisors when they're contacting their employees digitally that really helps to foster that healthy work-life balance that we have learned is so crucial?
Yeah, I think managers and supervisors actually play an incredibly important role in hybrid work in general, and also, to your point, ensuring a good work-life balance and also just good mental health in particular. Since the beginning of the pandemic, for example, I've scheduled video calls for 50 minutes rather than 60 minutes for an hour-long call, and 25 minutes rather than half an hour. That gives employees a break between meetings to grab a coffee, have a bio break, or just relax for a bit. I've also established a no-meetings block of time on the calendar and also given mental health days off to employees. I personally also block my calendar before 10 o'clock a.m. every day to catch up on email, do reading that I need to do, and to prepare for the day. There are occasional meetings earlier than that, but they're the exception. I put particular focus on making sure that when I message someone, like my employees on Slack, and Slack is the messaging platform that we use at my work, if I'm messaging somebody outside of business hours, I then schedule it to arrive after the employee's start time the next day. That's a feature of Slack. Even if you're a leader that needs to do more hours of work, and many of us leaders do need to do that, I think we need to be considerate of our staff and not model the behavior of working at all hours, for example, and thus leading to an expectation that your employees are going to be doing that as well. So I think we need to be really conscious of what kind of an example we set as managers and leaders to make sure that we are also not only showing an appropriate work-life balance, but actually living it as well.
I think that's really, really great advice, especially leading by example. And with the technology that we have available to schedule, send emails and messages, there's no reason not to use those features and just ensure that we're respecting everyone's time outside of the work hours.
So Paige, as we said earlier, you work from home all of the time. So you're most acutely aware of the challenges of working at home. And even those people who do actually now go into the office some of the time and then they work from home some of the time, the ones that are doing hybrid work, they're now permanently spending up to 2 days a week working at home. What are the recommendations that you'd have for optimizing working from home?
I think we've all learned during the pandemic that working from home can come with some unique challenges. One challenge is setting up a work from home environment that is ergonomic. In the office, companies provide that ergonomic work environment for their employees, but that's not necessarily the case at home. So it's important to have a desk with a comfortable office chair, along with a laptop or monitor that's at eye level. Kitchen and dining room tables are not really designed for sitting and working at a computer on, but oftentimes that's all we have access to at home. So it's important that when you're sitting at whatever desk or table you're using, that your body's in a neutral position when you're typing and using the mouse. It's also important that your laptop or monitor, whatever screen you're looking at, is at eye level so that you're not hunched over, which can cause problems to your neck, your back, your shoulders, pain, other health problems that can arise. So having a stand to raise your laptop up so it's at eye level, or raise your monitor up to being at eye level, is really going to help with that ergonomic side of things. And another challenge from working from home is distractions. We all know this. And it can be really easy to feel the need to go do some laundry or do some dishes during our workday. But that pulls your focus and can lower your productivity. It takes us time to refocus on a task once we've stopped that task and gone to do something else. Our brains need that time. So it might be an idea to resist that urge to go do some laundry during your workday and instead throw the load in before you start, change it over at your lunch, and then finish the laundry after your workday. And that can be applicable to any of the other things you might feel the need to do while you're working from home. Another distraction can be people that might live in your home with you. So it's worth having a conversation with them to limit their interactions with you during your work hours so that you can stay focused on your work. Another distraction is our technology. So setting your devices to do not disturb, or a work-specific focus setting, if your devices allow it. And you can control what calls, messages, and apps that you need to allow through while you're working, whether that's from your employer, your coworker, kids that are outside of the home. And as we all know, emergencies happen. In addition, when working from home, it's very easy for the line between our regular work hours and our after work hours to blur because we're working and living in the same physical space. Whereas when we go to an office, there's that physical division between the two. So it's really important to set boundaries for yourself so that you're not working beyond your regular work hours, which, as we all know, it can be really easy to do when you don't have to go and commute home. You know, oh, I'm almost finished this, let's just finish that. But if you're doing that every day, that time really adds up, and that can really negatively impact our mental health. So, Carl, whether you're working at home or at the office, video conferencing is the method of communication that we use with our colleagues now. What is some advice you have for optimizing the video conference experience that I know you have really worked on for yourself in your own work from home environment?
No, absolutely, Paige. You know, whether you used video conferencing for work before the pandemic or not, everyone now uses it all the time. As a result, it's incredibly important to do video conferencing right. I have 6 suggestions for how to do it right. So first of all, you got to show up consistently appearance-wise for the office and for home. Right at the beginning of the pandemic, I would wear the kind of clothes that I wear at home. A lot of people were doing that. And it was okay for the time. But now I think we're at this stage where there's an expectation that whether you're working at home or at the office, you need to be consistent in the way that you would show up. So if you're working in an office that you need to wear very formal sort of clothes, you should do that at home as well. If you are at an office where it's more relaxed and casual, fine. You should use the same kind of approach at the office and at home. Also, number 2 is make sure that your home setup with regard to especially your work environment is set up in such a way that, for example, you don't have a bed behind you or that you have people that are walking around behind you. That could even get embarrassing because during the pandemic, there were lots of videos going around of spouses not thinking they were on camera, appearing on the camera. So that still applies to what we're doing today and even more so, I think. So make sure that you've got like a wall behind you, ideally, or something that's not going to be changing and won't be distracting. Number 3 is use the best camera and microphone you can afford. Some of the time using the camera that's on, let's say a laptop, especially if you put it in a natural way for you to do your work with the laptop, the camera basically, you know, is shining up your nose. It's an uncomfortable sort of position to be in for other people to see you with kind of an unusual sort of angle. Having a separate camera from your laptop is often preferred because then you can position it appropriately. Also, you need to use a microphone that is of sufficient quality for people to understand you. I hear a lot of people on calls with really, really substandard equipment, and it affects your ability to be able to understand what they're saying. Think about how important that is, what you're saying, and to be able to be heard effectively. And also even seek out advice from your colleagues whether you're coming across appropriately. I just had a call with a colleague the other day, and she was coming through really, really quietly. And I pointed that out. She says, well, you're the first person that said that. I've been on several calls for the day. A lot of people aren't saying that. Instead, they're pumping up their volume on their own end to hear what the person's saying. But as a result, you don't look good in terms of having to do something to make up for the fact that you're not coming through appropriately. The other really important thing, I think, is to look at where you're appearing in the video frame. Your head should be toward the top of the frame and not just peeking slightly up from the bottom of the frame. Think about how that would look if you were in a meeting in the office. It would be equivalent to you being kind of partly under the table, just peeking above the table. That would be bizarre, right? But when it comes to video conferencing and where people put their cameras and how they position them, that's actually fairly typical that you see people with a weird way of showing up on camera. So make sure you position yourself appropriately at the top of the position. Also, don't have a window behind you, because you don't want to make sure that you're appearing to be in the witness protection program. You can tell there's a person there. You can see, you know, a silhouette of a person, but you can't actually see their face or their facial expressions. That, again, is a major, major do not do. The idea is to make your video experience as close as the in-person one that you have when you're in the office. The fifth idea is try to not use a virtual background. I know a lot of people are doing that when they're working from home, and that maybe was fine at the beginning of the pandemic when everybody had to be at home, but it really is distracting because most of the video backgrounds are not very good. So you actually come in and out of a background, and all of a sudden you don't actually have an ear, or your hand disappears into the background. That's just not professional, and it's distracting, right? You can use a video background if you have a green screen and if you have software that your company uses that supports a green screen, like Zoom supports it, but WebEx doesn't, as an example. But the other reason not to use a virtual background, though, is that they often take up significant compute resources, meaning that you're not going to appear as crisp, or there's going to be a lag in the way that you appear on the video. So try not to use virtual backgrounds at all. The last bit of advice is to make sure that you have a solid internet connection and enough bandwidth. It's incredibly important in the sense that you may think that you're appearing appropriately, but if you're cutting out and people are not hearing everything you're saying, think about it. You're not being effective. You're not actually getting your message across, and you're also not looking professional enough. So make sure you have a good internet connection that is stable, enough bandwidth as well. Again, if there's lots of people that are in your home using the internet, you might need to up your package to make sure that you've got sufficient bandwidth so that there'll be enough for you to appear on video conference calls with your colleagues. Now, I just touched on this a little bit, but I think the expectations for working from home have changed from the early part of the pandemic. Because everyone needed to quickly figure out how to work from home, people were more understanding that if you didn't have a good internet connection, for example, or you couldn't be on camera given your home situation, or you had a crappy microphone, for example, people understood. However, now that working from home for a couple of days a week, for example, is an option, the expectation that the quality of your communication will be optimal has increased. That's why I think everything that I've just mentioned is even more important now. It's also worth just stepping back for a moment and getting a perspective on what's happened the last few years. I think we've all just been going through a great big experiment of working differently during the pandemic, and we just had to figure it all out individually and collectively. We're also now going through another experiment with hybrid work, and we'll again need to try things, make some changes as we go to learn from how to improve what it is that we're doing with regard to hybrid work. It's also worth pointing out that I've blogged about many of the topics we've discussed here today, and we'll share the link in the show notes.
I think pointing out that this has been a big experiment is really important to think about, because it's this huge shift in the way we're working and we're living our lives. I think we've all been on video calls where, you know, the virtual background is getting weird, or someone, as you mentioned, is sitting in front of a window and you can't really see them, or people are walking around in the background. And I think that's okay when we're in a social setting online, but you can really tell the difference when you're on a video call with someone and there's no distraction. Their background is neutral. It's like a wall, and their camera is aimed in the right spot. You can hear them clearly. There's no glitchy internet issues, and it makes such a big difference. I am often on group Zoom calls that are not a work environment. And you can really tell the people who have put the time in to make sure they're set up right. And that's not knocking anybody who in a non-work environment is more lax about it, but it does make a difference. And when it comes to work, we want to show up as professionally as we can and be as effective as we can. So I think that those six pieces of advice for optimizing the video conferencing experience is really crucial. And I think you should listen back to those and really go through them and think about how you can make improvements. Because a lot of them, you know, just paying attention to what's behind you, like maybe you're normally sitting and there's an open space to a room behind you. Can you turn around and just face the wall? That doesn't cost anything. That's pretty easy to do. So go through those steps and see what you can do. And when you were talking about the camera, like I said before, a stand so that your laptop is at eye level. If your laptop camera is good enough, like a lot of Mac laptop cameras are great, raise that up. You know, turn on so you're just looking at yourself, play around with it, make sure you're not looking up your nostrils and, you know, your head's in the right spot and it's keeping that almost like what you would look like if someone was standing in front of you or sitting at a desk in front of you. So really, really great advice. Thank you for sharing that, Carl. And I hope you, the listener, are able to use those recommendations.
I'd add one other quickie one that putting the window that has the video images of the colleagues that you're speaking with, putting that as close as possible to the camera that you're looking at is a way to make the experience a really natural one. I've actually got some colleagues that have the video on one screen and then the actual, like the videos of their colleagues on the one screen and their camera on another computer. And you're appearing only to be looking off into a distance and not looking at the person in their face, in their eyes, is really, really unnerving, quite frankly. So you want to make it natural. So put that window that has the Zoom or WebEx or Teams pictures of your colleagues as close as possible to the camera so that you'll be looking directly at them.
And that's an excellent point, Carl. You and I often jump on a video call to connect about the podcast. And we do talk about that. And I always make sure that you are right below where my laptop camera is. And if I do have to have notes or something else, it's as close again to that screen as possible. But we really do think about what we can do to make it feel as in person as possible.
Spot on. So Paige, that pretty well wraps up our episode on hybrid work and doing it right.
Yes, it does, Carl. And if you have any comments, suggestions, questions, we'd love to hear from you. We welcome you to visit lifehabitspodcast.com to sign up for our newsletter, and we will send you the show notes and links from the previous week's episode, along with an exclusive sneak peek of our upcoming episode. Visit the contact page to get in touch with us through our contact form, or simply send us an email to paige@lifehabitspodcast.com. You will also find links to our social media pages, and we welcome you to ask questions, share comments, and recommendations for topics and guest ideas for future episodes by contacting us directly through email or on our social media pages. If you love the podcast, please give us a rating in the app you're listening to us on. And if you would like to contribute, please check out the Support the Podcast page. And we also have a Buy Me a Coffee button at the bottom of our site. Contributions from listeners like you allow us to continue to bring you a new episode every week of the series that helps you to learn new habits, to optimize your life, and embrace an enlightened, healthy, and prosperous lifestyle. Please note, our website and show notes contain affiliate links, which means we may receive a small commission at no extra cost to you.
And with that, Paige and I would like to thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you found it helpful. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye for now.